Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me, continuing to, because our good friend Karen Kerrigan is back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Karen joined me for the very first time in 1997. That's pretty early, folks, because that's the year I started doing the show, November of 97. So she got in here pretty early. She was a member of my Brain Trust before there was a Brain Trust. And that makes her pretty original. And she is an original, as always, as you've heard me say many times before. She's the president of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Nobody on the planet does more for small business, pound for pound, than Karen Kerrigan and her organization. And she's one of my heroes. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always.
Oh, great to be here. Great to be here.
Karen, I promised the audience that you would help us understand the good, the bad, and the ugly of the health care bill that was signed a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to start out with the good. Now, there is some parts of this that on paper, if it worked, would be good for some small businesses, right?
Right, absolutely.
Give us an example of what that is. Let's be fair.
Well, I think immediately there are some small businesses that can take advantage of the tax credits.
Right.
Now, these are
125
only
employees.
Right. And with average salaries of $50,000 or less, I mean, you get the full tax credit of $25,000 or less. But these are only going to be temporary. They'll be temporary really over the next 4 years, but starting immediately, you may be able to benefit from these tax credits, the 35% tax credit towards, the premiums that you pay for your employee, and if you pay 50% of that cost or more.
So you got the tax credit that she's talking about,
right.
But only if you're providing health care insurance.
Right.
So if you're not providing health care insurance because you can't afford it, your business is not big enough, it's not a benefit. That's what we mean by when we say some companies will be able to take advantage of this.
Oh, yeah, only some. So I don't think it really helps.
If you have under 25 employees and you're not providing health care insurance, it's not going to mean anything to you except that one day it may mandate that you provide insurance.
Right. I don't think it's going to help a lot of small businesses in their quest to provide insurance if they're not currently. It's not enough of a tax credit, and the cost of health coverage is still too high.
It didn't do anything to hold down the cost of health care.
No.
All right, so that's what we know. That's what we can think about. Some of the things we can identify that might be good for small businesses.
Right. I mean, just and immediately. I think over the longer term, the whole concept of these health insurance exchanges can work. There is some chance that they might work if they were structured correctly.
But they're intrastate, aren't
right.
they? They're all within the state. So if the state has mandates, the exchanges have mandates.
Right, but also there's going to be more federal pressure as well.
Right.
In terms of mandates that have to be a part of those health care packages.
Right, which includes
the dental, mental health. I mean,
but also the prior existing condition.
Pre-existing conditions, community rating. I mean, so there's going to be a variety of different regulatory pressures from the federal level that will drive up the cost of these health insurance plans within these exchanges. Now, the proponents say you're going to have, they're going to be more affordable. There's going to be greater choice.
How are they going to be
greater
more
choice?
I don't know, Jim.
I don't think they will, given the regulatory pressures, the mandate pressures, and look at this commission that's going to be established to decide on minimal, you know, these minimum level of coverage benefits, you know, they could come up with more mandates that need to be a part of these health insurance packages, that, you know, they, this minimal level of coverage. So they can, from my perspective, I'm saying in theory they can work, but in reality, I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to provide more affordable choices for small business
It doesn't
owners.
Seem to me that that when you overlay it on the reality of the marketplace, the reality of delivering health care to real human beings and all that, it doesn't seem to me, it seems to me to be something of a romantic dream, not something that's made in reality that we have a history of, that anybody has any kind of an experience with. Hold on to that thought. We're going to be right back with Karen Kerrigan. We're going to talk a little bit more about healthcare, and then we're going to talk about some of the things that are probably going to be coming down the pike to pay for all of this. And I don't think we're going to like it. 20 Tales, stay with us. Little ZZ Top bringing us back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, president of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's SBECouncil.org, right, Karen?
That's right, SBECouncil.org.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's a website that has just a lot of information dedicated to many different initiatives that are going on in Washington right now, the regulatory level, what's happening on Capitol Hill. You know, we sort of pick through all that stuff and analyze it and provide small business owners with the bottom line on how it's going to impact their firm. So, you know, we have a fact of the week, our cyber column. We have good resources for business owners, too, in terms of how to do business with
your
government, how to go global.
Your chief economist, Ray Keating, just does an outstanding job, too, of cranking out important analysis of small business issues and things that are on the ground. And you know, Karen, folks, when you hear me in the past, and as you hear me in the future, say that if you want to make a difference in Washington, if you really want your voice known, you can't do it all by yourself because you're too busy making payroll. You need to invest in and support organizations that are on the ground, that are already have the ear of some of these organizations, some of these lawmakers. And one of those companies, if you've heard me say repeatedly now for over 12 years, is Karen's organization, Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, SBECouncil.org. Please go there and check it out. At least become a consumer of their information. Become an advocate of what they do. And if you get a chance, support them with your with whatever you can, because they need your help. And because, you know, Karen, you guys work hard for small business. And it's about small business issues. It's not Republican or Democrat issues.
It's not. And, I mean, it's all about helping small businesses, making sure they succeed, making sure that government policies are going to enable their growth and
somehow
survival.
Somehow get the government out of our way, if possible. But, I mean, speaking of which, get back to the health care bill. One of the things somebody asked me a while back, you know, not too long ago, what was going to be the big takeaway from the healthcare bill. And I said, well, at that moment at least, I didn't know all of the details. And we still don't know all the details, do we, Karen? Because this thing hasn't been promulgated yet. It's until it gets promulgated and put into execution, you know, we still don't know exactly what it's all going to look like. But here's what I said. But this kind of a takeover and this kind of an expense, that which we know it will be, this extreme expense on the government, cannot be good for overburdening our economy with this kind of expense that we don't have the money for. That can't be good for entrepreneurship long term.
Well, it's not going to be good. I mean, there's going to be more crowding out of the, you know, private sector, you know, dollars. The government is going to be taking more money, more resources, you know, from small and mid-sized businesses, whether directly through taxation or indirectly through regulation. Look at, Jim, this year, a lot of experts are telling me for small business owners to expect a mid-year rate hike in their health insurance rates. Mm. I mean, almost immediately the small...
anticipation of what this bill is going to cost them in the future.
Health insurance companies right now are going to have to start rolling in the cost of this. I mean, immediately the pre-existing conditions requirements, some of the other regulatory requirements.
That's that pre-existing condition, folks. I know that sounds like a warm, fuzzy thing, and if you have it in your life, it's important. But it is from a reality standpoint, it's a huge contingent liability for these corporate, these health insurance companies.
They're going to have to, if you're looking at, you know, another thing that kicks in September is what one of my friends calls the slacker mandate, which is sort of funny. It's basically, you know, allowing, you know, parents to keep their, you know, their kids on their health insurance
the boomerang
policy, yes, up until 26 years of age. You know, and that's going to raise the cost of care, and I think that's unfortunate for a lot of young people, too. I mean, the parents are going to end up paying higher premiums, whereas that young adult may be able to buy insurance cheaper in the individual market. But nonetheless, I mean, that's another a cost to insurance companies.
Right.
And then, so, look at it. Don't be shocked, and politicians should not be shocked either, although they will be. You could count on that, Jim. When insurance companies start sending out these notices saying we have a mid-year, what's happened to affordable health coverage? That was supposed to be the whole purpose of this health insurance reform. And unfortunately, we're going to start seeing higher costs right away.
I have a health savings account, and we like it. We've had it for several years, and we like it. Our employees, it's what how we fund our employees' health care insurance is through the HSAs. Did I see that I won't be able to deduct as much in the future with my HSA as I can now?
Yeah, over the counter, you know, type of medications. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can use your HSA account for right now that you're not going to be able to in the future.
And see, this is an attack on HSAs because, Karen, I think HSAs are the greatest enemy of universal health care. And the people who want universal health care do not like HSAs.
Right. And if you withdraw from your health savings account, if you need to use the money for emergency, you know, purposes outside of health care, you're going to be taxed higher on that as well, a 20% penalty tax. So, we're very concerned that, you know, what they're going to be writing from a regulatory perspective, you know, from these bills is going to whittle away, you know, at the power and the leverage that, you know, HSAs you know, bring to consumers in the market. And, you know, eventually we're going to be going to this single-payer type of government-run system, and HSAs won't be a part of that future.
One of the things we're going to talk about when we come back is the VAT, value-added tax, and maybe some other stuff that Karen's got on her mind that she's working on your behalf right after these messages. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you will, and use it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff there that will help you. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, one of my heroes, the president of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, sbecouncil.org. Please check it out. It's very important, folks. I promise you, do not go through this day without going to that website and seeing what they have to offer if you haven't already. Find out what they've got going on. They're helping you whether you know it or not, and you need to know that they are. Karen, wrapping up quickly on the health care bill that we have, we didn't have to make this movie about health care. The movie has already been made. It was made in Europe. We already know how that turns out. It is not good. The movie has already been made in most recently in Massachusetts. We now know how that's turned out. We didn't have to do this health care movie to find out what's going to happen, did we?
Oh, no. The stage, we could have watched, you know, several of these movies happening not only in Europe but also in our own backyard. If you look at states where, you know, there is, you know, just hyper-regulation of the insurance industry, what you found is that there, in those states, there's one or two insurance companies. There's no choices for consumers. There's higher costs.
Right.
And there's more uninsured people.
And mandates.
Now we're looking at Massachusetts and what's unfolding there.
Mm-hmm.
They've blown out the budget. They don't know where to come up with the money, you know, to fund this, you know, universal health coverage in Massachusetts. You have longer waiting times for doctors, and they have the most doctors per resident of any state in the union.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a big fight now going on between the health insurance companies and the governor. Health insurance companies are saying, we need to raise rates or we're going to lose millions and millions and millions and go bankrupt. And the governor is saying, no, you can't do that. There's been a court decision that said, well, no, you've got to let sort of the, you know, the regulatory and the, you know, sort of the system that, you know, the government has set up, you know, to sort of play out, and we're not going to allow you to raise rates.
Right.
Well, you know what? Insurance companies are going to flee Massachusetts.
That's
and you're going to be stuck with a government-run insurance company.
And let me clear something else up here. Mitt Romney, that was Mitt Romney's brainchild. I mean, he was the force behind that. But I've heard him explain, before he ever ran for president, what happened to that deal to get it derailed. He worked it all out where it was going to work. At the last minute, the legislature would not leave the mandates out.
Right.
They had to put mandates back in. So he was trying to come up with a basic policy that anybody could afford. And if they couldn't, the government could help them. And the government, the legislature, put the mandates back in, like they have in New York, like they have in California and other places, New Jersey. They put the mandates back in, and that's what's driving the cost up.
Right. Well, it just goes to show you can't really trust liberals,
right,
you know, to make sure this thing happens the way that we all want it to happen. But, Jim, that's what yet to come. And you know what? We didn't even talk about, on the federal bill, the employer mandates, the new taxes, whether they are, you know, Medicare payroll tax increases, the, you know, the new 3.8% capital gains, you know, Medicare tax, the new health care tax.
Speaking of taxes, we've got to get to that, because this is something that we're hearing more and more about. This thing will not pay for itself, folks. There's going to have to be new revenue to be paid to pay for this thing if it stays as it is. And some people are now talking about a VAT like it's a fait accompli. And I just can't. The idea of the United States having a VAT makes me want to move to Mars.
Well, right. If there was that option and, you know, intergalactic travel,
right,
I think we wouldn't be saying we'll leave the U.S. We're going to leave the world.
The value-added tax, they have it in Europe, and it's a killer. It's an entrepreneurial killer.
Oh, it is. And that's really what's been responsible for the slow job creation, slow economic
growth. But
do you think
that there people are going to propose that?
Oh, they're going to try. They're going to try it.
Would it be this year?
Paul Volcker,
they won't do it this year, will they?
Excuse me?
They won't do it this year, will they?
No. They won't do it this year, but they're basically floating it. They're getting the idea out there.
Trying to get people comfortable with it.
Right. And you know, Paul Volcker, who's running this tax commission for President
What's
Obama,
wrong
wants
with him?
To do
is
it.
Has he gone off his noodle or something?
Well, I don't know. You know, look at, I think, you know, some of these folks are saying, look at, even minus the health insurance, you know, law that just passed.
Yeah.
That we're running, you know, our nation's finances into the ground, and there needs to be additional revenue, and the way to do that, you know, is through a VAT.
But Karen, we all know that additional revenue is not the way to solve it, because
I know
more revenue means they just spend more money. That doesn't. We've had more revenue. That didn't stop from spending.
That's right. You know, Jim, and if your listeners want to find out more about the VAT, go to sbecouncil.org. Two of our tax advisors put together a wonderful piece on
Great.
Is the VAT a problem? The answer, yes.
Absolutely. So sbecouncil.org, and look for the VAT discussion that she just mentioned. Karen, thanks for being here as always. Good job.
Thanks, Jim.
Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. She'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.